This show was first broadcast on Free FM 89.0, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access radio station. For more information on our station and our wide range of programs, visit freefm.org.nz.
The Access Internet Radio app is out now. Tune in to Free FM. Keep tabs on the latest podcast episodes to stream or download. Search our content by language or category. You can even check out our colleagues at 10 other New Zealand Community Access radio stations. Grab it now from Apple's App Store or Google Play, install, launch, and select Free FM from the stations listed. The Access Internet Radio app, your portal to Free FM's great independent community media content.
This show is brought to you by the Buddhist Youth Association every Sunday, bringing Buddhism to the community of the Waikato. We also give away a range of free English or Chinese Buddhism books, MP3, or tapes on Buddhism. If you'd like one, please send a letter with $3 worth of stamps in an envelope to P.O. Box 82146, Highland Park, Howick, Auckland. Or you can phone 09271 3377. Buddhist Youth Association, respectful, beneficial, empowering. Here we are again for another program in the series on the graduated path to enlightenment, followed by the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. Thank you for joining us, and I hope the next half hour will be helpful on your spiritual journey. We've spent quite a lot of time in the last few programs on the preciousness of this human life for spiritual practice, and today I want to move on to the next topic, the pervasiveness of impermanence. But before that, let's just make sure that our motivation for listening to this program today and doing the meditations in it is as positive as possible. As I said last week, in any action, motivation is the most important and determines whether the action will have a beneficial result or not. The best motivation is to gain enlightenment so that we can be of the greatest benefit, not only to ourselves, but also to all other suffering beings we come across. So let's try to set such a motivation. If that's too much, at least set a motivation to gain liberation and free yourself from all suffering. So please take a moment to set such a motivation. Thank you. Now it's true that we now have a wonderful opportunity to study and follow the Buddha's teachings, but it would be even better if we knew we could stay here with the same conditions until we reached enlightenment. For a very few people, this will be a final life in samsara, and after this, they will never suffer again. But for the majority of us, this is only one life in a long line that stretches infinitely far behind us, and if we could see into the future, we would find stretches almost as long before us. When he became enlightened, the Buddha said that he tried to see back to his first life, but he couldn't find it. Each life was preceded by another, and that by another, and so on endlessly into the far distant past. Nowhere could he find a starting point, nor could he find a single good life in which he could, as it were, stay forever until he reached enlightenment. One life inevitably ended to be followed by another. We all know that we have at the maximum just over 100 years of life on earth in our present incarnation. By 3010, the vast majority of people on earth now, including you and me, will have died. Maybe a very few will still be hanging on, but they too will be doing a hongi with death. This is just a fact of life, and it's born out of another fact, that almost everything in our experience is impermanent. By that, I mean everything changes instant by instant. Nothing stays the same from one microsecond to the next, no matter how much we wish it would do so. Impermanence is a cornerstone of Buddha's teachings and is actually the reason we are able to drive motor cars, learn how to play computer games, and kiss our partners. If we were permanent, by very definition, we wouldn't be able to do those things. Something permanent cannot change, and so cannot function. To fulfill a function, something must be able to change, so it must be impermanent. That's why a permanent soul makes no sense. What relationship can a permanent soul have with an impermanent body or spirit. As soon as the relationship is created, everything involved in the relationship changes from its previous state. So, if a soul is permanent, it cannot learn. It cannot take notice of anything that happens to the person, and it certainly can't have a relationship of any sort with any part of its person. The soul, if there is such a thing, must then be impermanent and therefore under the influence of other things. Impermanence might be the underlying nature of just about everything we know, but we have a problem with it, stemming from our grasping at some kind of inherent, independent, permanent being, like a soul within us. We don't grasp at this soul thing, this self or Atman, only intellectually. We grasp at it innately, instinctively. You can see it in animals, for instance, when you reach out to touch them. At our Buddhist center, we have a cat who's not the most friendly of creatures. If you try to stroke her, she's quite liable to lash out at you. That sense she has of me that looks scornfully at humans and their silly, touchy-feely ways is her instinct of grasping at an independent, inherently existing, permanent self. Of course, she can't explain it and just reacts according to her instinct. But it's the same instinctive reactions we humans have when we get on each other's nerves. Our don't bug me attitude, in which the me seems so very strong and solid as a rock. Impermanence has become quite easy to prove in the microscopic world of atoms and subatomic particles. Scientists have shown, and in a way they can actually see, that these particles are always on the move, never stopping or staying static even for an instant. They whiz about, changing status or going in and out of existence with never a rest. But we and most of our known creation are made up of these restless little bits of energy. And if we are constantly changing at that microscopic level, we must also be changing constantly at a more gross level, though it may be difficult to see. Even in outer space, where you cannot find even the slightest asteroid, never mind a planet, is not just empty void. It contains weird stuff like plasma, electromagnetic radiation, and the hypothetical dark matter and dark energy. And that's all impermanent as well. So we just can't get away from change. Yet, as I said before, because of our grasping at an inherently existing independent me or self, we want stability. We want things to stay the same, because that way our self feels safe and secure. We want our job and our house to be there today, like they were yesterday. We want our partner to basically continue feeling the same love for us as they did when we first met, because that way we have some stability in our relationship. In effect, we want our life to work out according to our expectations, so our me is not threatened. And in particular, we shy away from thinking about death, because death is the ultimate proof that our existence is impermanent and tenuous. Can you see how reality and our desires are at odds? We want permanence and stability where there is only impermanence and change. As long as these two are at loggerheads with each other, we will never experience long-term happiness. We will always be fighting a losing battle. Until we give up this idea that we can achieve stability, safety, and some kind of permanence in life, we will continually meet up with situations that make us unhappy. Yet, as you can imagine, it's not easy to give up our longing for stability and safety. For lifetimes, we've been behaving in ways to entrench this longing, perhaps finding for short periods some kind of steadiness that strengthened the illusion we could create a long-term stability. But always, change and the impermanent nature of things forced us once again to face the truth that it's not possible, although we don't want to admit it, and often try to make other oncoming situations stable. If we want to become enlightened, it is imperative that we understand and accept impermanence, not just intellectually, but experientially instinctively. Only then will we be able to accept that everything that comes our way, good or bad, is just a passing phase, and let it go, not try to hold on to it or push it away and make it into something it's not. So now let's do a meditation that will open our minds and understanding a little to impermanence, and to help us get some sense of what reality is doing even while we are not looking. Remember, as we discussed last time, to sit comfortably with a straight but relaxed back. The way to do this meditation is to think about the points I bring up until you get a really strong conviction of impermanence. Then allow your mind to soak in that conviction until it fades. Then go back to considering the points until that conviction arises again, and so on. Of course, time is too short for us to do that comprehensively now, but when you do this meditation on your own, you may be able to do it like that. So let's begin. First, we'll do a short visualization and breathing meditation to collect and settle the mind and make us feel light. Imagine that you're like a crystal dropped into a pool of water that sinks down and settles on the bottom of the pool as if it's coming home. And just as the crystal is not moved by anything that happens in the pool, let everything that arises in your mind or outside just pass on by in the same way as leaves appear floating down the stream and disappearing. Now, just as when sunlight hits the pool and the crystal and they both become radiant, imagine that your body and mind are filled with light and you too become radiant. Now focus on your breath. Allow the thoughts and so on to arise. Let them be and let them go, not getting involved with them. And if your mind does wander off, just gently bring it back to the breath and concentrate once more.
Yeah.
Then bring to mind how the thoughts, emotions, and so on, your whole internal world is changing instant by instant. Remember this from your previous meditations. Your breath comes and goes. Your sensations are always changing. Your thoughts never stay the same. In fact, whatever you look at in your inner world, you cannot find anything that remains constant. Concentrate on this for a while. Now think about your body, how it's made up of different parts and how the blood and air is constantly being pumped through it, reaching all those parts, so nothing is staying the same.
Oh,
Then think how your body is made up of cells. And those cells are made up of atoms, which in turn are made up of subatomic particles, like photons, electrons, and neutrons. Those are whizzing around all the time, never staying still. They're also made up of even smaller particles and so on, till we get just tiny packets of energy, never static, always moving, going in and out of existence. Try and see your body like this. Take that understanding of the changing atomic and subatomic structure out to the seat that you're sitting on, the room you're in, and then out to the building. Take it out to the rest of the world, out into the universe. See everything is made up of energy particles and changing instant by instant. Okay, now just dedicate any positive energy developed from our program today to your purpose and come out of meditation. I hope you got some feeling for the impermanent nature of just about everything we experience. If you can stabilize such a conviction, we will not clutch onto or push away things so much and be much more ready to accept the ups and downs of life, knowing that everything is just change and passes. But now we're out of time. Thank you for joining us, and please do so again next week at the same time. Goodbye. This show is brought to you by the Buddhist Youth Association every Sunday, bringing Buddhism to the community of the Waikato. We also give away a range of free English or Chinese Buddhism books, MP3, or tapes on Buddhism. If you'd like one, please send a letter with $3 worth of stamps in an envelope to P.O. Box 82146, Highland Park, Howick, Auckland. Or you can phone 09271-3377. Buddhist Youth Association. Respectful, beneficial, empowering.
For more episodes of this Community Access Radio show, please visit freefm.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast possible by funding the Access Internet Radio Project.